Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1948, with a release date of December 12, 2014. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams in the Philippines respond to yet another typhoon. Ham radio suggested as a way to inform the West Bengal fishing fleet of imminent danger. UK telecommunications regulator Ofcom evaluating the future of the 420 to 470 megahertz band. Nuvasa Island de-expedition makes ready for departure. And a 2.5-minute video shows how the International Space Station was put together in orbit. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1948, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here is Jim Dameron, NATMW.
They are called heroes in the Philippines, and with good reason. They put their lives on the line almost every time they activate. And the past week dealing with Typhoon Hagupit has been no exception. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, reports.
It's very rare that ham radio operators will literally put their lives on hold, but in the Philippines it is the natural thing to do when disaster appears imminent. And that's exactly what members of the Ham Radio Emergency Operations, or HERO Network, have done time and time again. And as Typhoon Hagupit moves slowly across the Pacific Ocean toward their nation, the Philippine Amateur Radio Association activated these emergency communicators once again to be ready for action. WIA News anchor Graham Kemp, VK4BB, fills us in from here.
HERO Network certainly has been active in latest Philippines disasters. HERO reported that the typhoon, the worst of the year, flattened flimsy homes, toppled trees, cutting power and communication as it moved across the archipelago, taking 4 days and claiming 30 lives. Sadly, this latest typhoon hit many of the areas yet to recover from last year when 6,500 people were killed. The National Telecommunications Commission requested ham stations set up at the NTC headquarters in Metro Manila and its regional offices. Hams were also embedded in various disaster and risk minimization operations.
Confidence that the HERO network is adequately handling the emergency traffic was shown by some 150 stations checking into the Typhoon Emergency Communications Net. The HERO network is still running from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time and has a 2 p.m. roll call, this to know each station's reception capabilities at differing levels of propagation. With Graham Kemp, VK4BB, in Australia, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles. Jim?
The ham radio operators involved in this mission say they will be available as long as they are needed. The benefits of amateur radio will be showcased for India's West Bengal's fishing community. This is one way to ensure that severe weather warnings reach them when they are stationed in deep seas. This according to an official on Monday, December 1st. Experts at the Regional Meteorological Department will demonstrate ham radio technology to the fishing community at a one-day meet in Daya with the help of Bengal Fisheries Department and West Bengal Amateur Radio Club. VU2JFA is the custodian of the club. He and two of his colleagues were scheduled to explain the technicalities of amateur radio and to apprise them of how high-frequency radio can be successfully used for direct long-distance communications during inclement weather. The Deputy Director General at a regional meteorological center in Kolkata says that if the state government decides to go ahead with the proposal, then hams could be used to effectively transmit warnings to the fishermen sailing in the deep sea about 200 kilometers away from shore and facing pending severe weather conditions. There was no mention in the article concerning the licensing of the fishing community to permit two-way communications, or if this would be a one-way only broadcast set up on a fixed frequency somewhere in the ham radio spectrum, most likely on 75 or 40 meter single sideband. The complete story is at tinyurl.com/west-bengal-fishing-radio. United Kingdom telecommunications regulator Ofcom has published a call for inputs as part of its strategic review of the 420 to 470 megahertz spectrum band. This, says Ofcom, will help it to understand whether its current approach to managing the band is able to meet the needs of current and future users. Uses for the band are diverse and complex, and its configuration is not fully aligned with the European Spectrum Configuration Plan. Users include business radio, the emergency services, and utilities, among others. With potential new users also wanting to make use of these frequencies, demand is increasing. Several Region 1 terrestrial and space-based amateur radio allocations fall within this 50 megahertz spectral parcel. This document invites comments from stakeholders' findings as well as other input which stakeholders consider relevant to the Ofcom analysis of the 420 to 470 megahertz band, including its proposed work program for the next phase of the review. This call for inputs on the consideration proposal closes February 19, 2015. Russian slow-scan television, or SSTV, transmissions are planned from the International Space Station on December 18th and 20th. The transmit frequency will be 145.800 MHz with a 3-minute off time between transmissions. The expected mode is PD-180, producing a high-quality image with a frame scan of 187 seconds. A total of 12 different photos will be sent throughout an operational period. Image transmissions for December 18th should begin around 1420 UTC, and on December 20th, look for signals to start around 1240 UTC. For both days, operation is expected to terminate around 2130 UTC. Please note that the SSTV operation times may change due to any launch delays of the SpaceX CRS-5 scheduled for December 16th. Received images can be uploaded to the image gallery found at tinyurl.com/December-2014-ERIS-SSTV. In DX Upfront, preparations for the early 2015 Nubasa Island operation are well underway. This according to a press release from planners Bob Alphen, K4UEE, Glenn Johnson, W0GJ, and Mike Thomas, NA5U. According to the trio, all of their equipment is being assembled, tested, and packed. The container of equipment and supplies will depart late in December en route to the helicopter staging area. This group says that it is contracted with the largest helicopter operations group in the Caribbean to transfer personnel and equipment to the island. Although the actual dates may still vary, it now appears the group of 15 operators will begin transport to the island during the last week of January. More information and regular updates are on the web at www.navassadx.com for details. E51AND has told the Ohio Penn DX newsletter that Cook Islands resident hams will be allowed a special one-by-one call sign for use during the 50th anniversary of self-governance in 2015. The special call is available for use at the operator's discretion only during the period January 1, 2015 through December 31st. Visitors to the island will be issued call signs in accordance with current practice. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W6VPZ repeater located atop Palos Verdes, California. A Morganton, North Carolina radio station was taken off the air after thieves struck sometime on Thursday, December 4th. The owners of the station came to work to find thieves had ripped the building apart and done thousands of dollars in damage to the transmitter. The damage was so bad the station couldn't even get on the air. Owner Jim Wisnett says that he knew something was wrong when he turned the dial to AM 760 and didn't hear a thing. He said the thieves got in by cutting their way through a fence topped with barbed wire on the top. Then they climbed through a window where they gutted the station's two transmitters of its copper wiring. The actual value of the copper wire taken is estimated at only about $250, but the overall damage to the station will be in the area of $50,000 to repair. The Boy Scouts of America have released their 2014 report for the Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA, held in October. The report shows an across-the-board decline in participation by Boy Scout councils, individual scouts, and by amateur stations. Attendance at JOTA took a big jump in 2012 with 18,566 scouts and visitors. Since then, the number has fallen by more than 5,000 to this year's total of 13,326. Likewise, only 148 Boy Scout councils were active this year. That number is down from 173 in 2013. Jim Wilson, K5ND, is the National Jamboree on the Air Coordinator. He says that 354 stations had registered this year, but only 205 submitted operating reports. This makes it difficult for organizers to have an accurate picture of exactly how many stations and scouts were really involved. But the news was not all negative. The report noted growth in the number of radio merit badges earned in 2013 at 7,208. In addition, some 6,800 amateur radio operator rating strips were sold in its first year. This uniform insignia indicates the wearer's availability as an amateur radio operator. Talmadge, Ohio-based DX Engineering has announced acquisition of Bencher Incorporated's antenna product lines. This includes the rights to Bencher Skyhawk, Skylark, and Butternut antenna products. DX Engineering will also provide replacement parts for these antennas. The deal does not include the Bencher line of iambic Morse paddles. Bencher will remain located in Antioch, Illinois. If you are new to the electronics hobby or just nostalgic for the good old days, then the name of a magazine known as Popular Electronics will definitely ring a bell. And now, thanks to the effort of AmericanRadioHistory.com, there is a shared archive of all the Popular Electronics magazines from 1954 to 1982. But Popular Electronics is not the only publication you will find there. There are millions of pages and hundreds of books and magazines on radio, television, computers, and much more. It's all available on the web at www.AmericanRadioHistory.com. The direct link to the Popular Electronics Archive is at tinyurl.com/popular-electronics-archive. And a happy centennial to the ARRL's official journal, QST Magazine. First published in December 1915, QST is not only the official membership periodical of the ARRL, it is also the most widely read amateur radio magazine in the world, with a monthly publication of more than 165,000. According to the League, QST kicks off its celebration with a photo contest announced in the January issue as well as online. Winning photos will appear on several QST covers throughout 2015, and each winning photographer will receive $250. Also, each 2015 issue of QST will contain articles and columns republished from vintage issues. In the January issue, we'll be reprinting the special declaration from the January 1942 QST concerning the cessation of amateur radio operations at the start of the U.S. entry into World War II. Each vintage article will be reprinted exactly as it appeared in its original issue. This all according to QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY. He said they chose articles based on either historical relevance or nostalgic value. Ford added that as space permits, QST will be reprinting some vintage Gil Gildersleeve cartoons. He also advises readers to be on the lookout for occasional appearances of the beloved stray kitties. Longtime QST readers will know what that means. Volume 2, Issue 2 of the free radio astronomy publication Ragazine is now available for download. This latest issue contains articles on meteor scatter by Paul Hyde, G4CSD, a VLF report by John Cook, G8EDG, choosing a programming language by Jeff Lashley, 2E0ODF, and much more. Download your copy at tinyurl.com/ragazine-current-issue. The December 2014 issue of CQDA-TV magazine is now available for free download. This issue includes such topics as 70-centimeter DVB-T transmission Munich, Germany, How to turn a Raspberry Pi microcomputer into a high-definition TV transmitter, and much more. Your free copy, along with links to all back issues, are available at www.cq-datv.mobi/ebooks.php. A new behind-the-scenes look at the operation of Special Event Station 2SZ is now available for viewing on the web. The video tells the story of the amateur radio station especially constructed at Mill Hill School near London to commemorate the 90th anniversary of the first radio contact between Great Britain and New Zealand. As previously reported on October 18, 1924, the first radio communication contact between the two countries took place between Mill Hill School, operated by 18-year-old former pupil Cecil Goiter, 4 Alpha Alpha in Shag Valley, New Zealand, operated by Frank Bell under the call sign 2SZ. The video tells the story of this year's celebration. Online at tinyurl.com/celebrating-uk-to-nz. Financial troubles for the longtime home of the Dayton Hamvention. This, as WDTN-TV News 2 reports that the venue, located in the suburb of Trotwood, has cut back to only a dozen full-time staff to save on operating costs. The WDTN story quotes Hera's director of marketing, Karen Wampler. She explained the difficulty facing the Hera Arena in competing with other venues, such as the Nutter Center at Wright State University. Wampler went on to describe the primary challenges for the Hera are a need for renovation funds and an ownership model change. To that end, Wampler said that the arena is working with Venue Works, which is a company that specializes in restoring event venues such as the Hera, and that she anticipated some very good news in 2015. A quick look at the Hera Arena webpage shows some 60 major events already scheduled between January 2nd and September 26th of 2015, with the Dayton Hamvention in its usual spot in mid-May, specifically the weekend of May 15th through the 17th. So no matter what the TV news report says about the finances of the 165,000-square-foot Hera complex, for Hamvention 2015, the show will definitely go on as planned. The complete WDTN TV News 2 story is on the web at tinyurl.com/report-on-hara. And speaking about Hamvention 2015, word from the Southwest Ohio DX Association that it will again sponsor the annual DX dinner. This is the group's 30th annual dinner and will be held on Friday, May 15th at the Dayton Marriott on South Patterson Boulevard in Dayton. There will be a cash bar starting at 5:30 p.m., dinner served at 7. In celebration of this 30th anniversary, among other great prizes, Yaesu has generously donated an FTDX 3000 transceiver. Details and dinner reservation information can be found on the event's website, www.swodxaevents.org. From there, simply click on the DX Dinner icon. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org, and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. Some names in the news. The Google Science Fair 2014 Voters' Choice Award has been won by 16-year-old Arsh Dilgagi of India. His winning device, called Talk, converts short and long breaths of air into electrical signals that in turn enable people to communicate using Morse code. Dilbagi, who performed a trial of the unit on a hospital patient in New Delhi, now has $10,000 from Google to further develop the device. The announcement did not state if he holds an amateur license. The Radio Society of Great Britain has announced the appointment of Philip Willis, M0PHI, as the new chairman of its Training and Education Committee. Willis succeeds Steve Hartley, G0FUW. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden says that a British astronaut could walk on Mars as part of a joint United States and United Kingdom expedition to the Red Planet. In an October interview with Great Britain's ITV News, Bolden noted that much of the earlier work in aeronautics was done in the United Kingdom. As such, it has always been among the leaders when it came to taking things from the unknown and making them known. He thinks the UK is a perfect partner to try to venture off into the far reaches of the solar system. Asked if he saw British astronauts being part of a mission he has said he hoped to launch, he said, "I do. I expect that you will see representatives from many nations, particularly the partner nations that we currently have." NASA Administrator Charles Bolden has previously served as an astronaut as well as a U.S. Marine. In his interview, he noted that Great Britain would be a perfect partner for a mission to Mars because of its tradition of aeronautical innovation. Complete article on the web at tinyurl.com/US-UK-Mars. The amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ERIS group, is continuing to explore the possibility of establishing a network of ground stations. This in the hope of enabling the use of the recently activated ham TV video system during such activities as ERIS school contacts. Kerry Bank, N6IZW, works on ERIS hardware. He reports that a document is under development that will describe what is required to build a ground station. He also notes that both he and ERIS International Representative Lou McFadden, W5DID, have successfully received ham TV transmissions from the ISS. After 9 years and a journey of 3 billion miles, NASA's New Horizons robotic probe awoke from hibernation Saturday, December the 5th. This to begin a mission to study the icy Pluto and other dwarf worlds in its Kuiper Belt home. A preset timing system awoke New Horizons from its electronic slumber at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, but ground control teams didn't receive its confirmation until just after 9:30 p.m. The probe is so far away that radio signals which travel at the speed of light take 4 hours and 25 minutes to reach Earth. Pluto lies in the Kuiper Belt, a region of icy mini-planets orbiting the Sun beyond Neptune. These are believed to be the remains from the formation of the solar system some 4.6 billion years ago. It's also the last unexplored region of the solar system. The scientific observation in that part of the solar system will begin January 15th, with the spacecraft's closest approach expected on July 14th. Turning to radio sports, the Irish Radio Transmitting Society's 80-meter counties contest takes place Thursday, January 1st. Deadline for the submission of completed logs is January 15th. Logs should be submitted by email to contestmanager@irts.ie. NDX RV3ARY is planning to operate from Mount Vinson in Antarctica between December 24th and January 3rd. He will use battery power and take a Windom and Yagi antenna for 20 meters. Listen out for him on 7.045, 14.260, and 21.260 megahertz. More details, including QSL routing, will be forthcoming. F2VX and F9IE will be active stroke FM from Martinique through January 8. Operations will be on all HF bands, including CW and SSB, from FM5WD's station. They may make a side trip to St. Lucia, QSL via their home call signs. FW5JJ is back on Wallace Island after a few months' holiday. He's expected to be on Wallace for 2 years or longer. Activity on the HF bands and 6 meters. He's also on 2-meter EME and has made his first Wallace to France QSO with F6BKI in Bordeaux. QSL direct only via F5RXL. Members of the West Bengal Radio Club will be active as 8T5MQT from Sagar Island between January 9th through the 16th, mainly on 14.260 MHz. QSL via VU2NRO. For more details and updates, visit wbradioclub.in. Members of the Radio Grupo SIR will be operational as CV5A from Flores Island between February 21st through the 23rd. Activity will be on all high-frequency bands and modes. QSL via CX2ABC. Lastly, K4KGG will be active stroke VP9 from Hamilton Parish, Bermuda, between December 31st and January 5th. Operations will be on the high-frequency bands only. All contacts will be uploaded to Logbook of the World and Club Log. QSL via W3HNK, direct or by the Bureau. And finally this week, building the International Space Station took over 40 missions between 1998 and 2011, with one more piece planned for delivery in 2015. Now you can watch the whole thing come together in just a few minutes, thanks to a newly released time-lapse video. Those who've only seen photos of the massive structure circling our planet may be surprised to learn that the ISS, in Earth terms, is a massive structure weighing over 400 tons spread out over the size of a football field. No booster rocket could carry it into orbit as a completely assembled unit, so it was assembled piece by piece in Earth orbit, with components contributed by space agencies. These included the United States, Canada, Europe, Russia, and Japan. So set your web browser to tinyurl.com/building-the-ISS. Turn the music up and enjoy the short video on how the International Space Station was put together on orbit through the cooperation of nations worldwide. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, a reminder that the Dayton Hamvention is currently accepting nominations for its Amateur of the Year, Special Achievement, Technical Excellence, and Club of the Year awards. The Amateur of the Year award will go to a special person who the judging committee believes has a long-term commitment to the advancement of amateur radio. The Special Achievement Award is presented to a person who has a single outstanding contribution to the advancement of amateur radio, such as spearheading a single significant project. The Technical Excellence Award is for a person who has made an outstanding technological advancement in the field of amateur radio. Last, but by no means least, the Club of the Year includes all aspects of an organization's accomplishments, activities, and public service. Nominating forms and information on submitting them, including by email, are on the web at hamvention.org/awards.php. The deadline for submitting nominations is January 16, 2015. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, saying 73 from Charleston, West Virginia. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.